Welcome to this week's episode of First Moves. We'll be talking to John Jansen, Business Development Manager at the Business Innovation Team at Rabobank Limburg. We'll be talking about what banks actually look for when it comes to lending money to startups, the ways that you can hedge risk by looking at your team, your strategy, and your stakeholders. And lastly, the value of setting realistic expectations by finding realistic sparring partners that help you define you and your business. If you want to learn how you can take the first steps and maybe even get funding from a bank, make sure you listen to this episode. Sean, welcome to the show. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us how you ended up at the Rabobank?
Surely, I will do that to you. It's a nice story because I was a student, just like the most students here at the university. And one of my teachers said, John, you have to go to that Rabobank. In that time, now I'm talking 1988. It's quite a year ago. They needed new personnel for their Rabobank. And all the Rabobanks at that time were local companies. We are a cooperative bank. But in that, all the local banks were had its own direction, had its own board and that kind of stuff. Well, I went there as a young guy of 20 years old. And I was there with a board of four people. One was smoking a cigar, and one of them, as a real director's shape, as I and I was very young in that. But okay, I got the talk with them. And when we finished, I said, well, is that everything you want to need for me? Or do you want to, I had to order clothes or that kind of stuff. Well, they said, we think you will be good to come here to work, but you have to change clothes. Okay. What do I need to wear then? Well, you need a tie, you need a good suit and that kind of stuff. So that was the agreement we signed at the end. And the Monday after, I was going to work. Well, that was my first experience with Rabobank.
Well, what were you wearing for the interview though? That was such a big talking point.
My mother made me a knitted sweater. And I said, well, that's too easy to wear. So that kind of, you need a nice blouse with a tie and that kind of stuff.
Right. And I mean, this was all the way at the beginning. This was really the first Monday then. But since then, you've had a lot of experience in the financial world and also in lending. But what actually motivated you to stay in that sector? What about it do you enjoy?
Well, at first, as I said, I thought, well, I'm going to a bank and the only thing they have there is an account number and a mortgage you could get or assurance or that kind. And, well, as I was wondering, every day was not the same day and still is. The only thing that is standard is the change every day. So that was a challenge for me because I could see what kind of steps are been made in the financial world. And I was very inspired of, well, now we're going to do new mortgage things. Now we are going to sell trips for holidays. They also did in the past. And every time I was curious about, okay, what are we going to do now? And also in the a couple of years later, in the 90s, Rabobank was also going for companies, entrepreneurship and that kind of stuff. And well, that was my first experience with companies and that. And one of the things that inspired me was that in a company, also, not one day will be the same. And if I could learn what those entrepreneurs are being awake of in the evening or in the night, and how can I help them with the challenges or that kind, well, that was one of the things. Until the day of now, what is one of the things that I'm in the financial world.
Yeah.
So you're right now working in the department of the startup and scale-up within the Rabobank, giving loans and looking for investments and all these different kind of financial services you guys offer. So you see a lot of startups come through. What are the key identifiers that you see in startups that make you guys go, yes, those are the kind of people you would like to support with money?
Okay. Well, one of the things, first I think I go one step back behind, is as Rabobank, we are a traditional bank. Yeah? We are a commercial bank, like, okay, we need to bring in money, to get our cash flow done and that kind of stuff. But I think 10 years ago, we had a fund like Tackle. Tackle was made by Iron, it's not a dog, but it's a new thing, whatever you can do, like a robot. And that were the first steps in Limburg region for going for startup scale-ups. And, we changed it as in the name of Business Innovation Team Limburg. And now we are at the ticket or the title like Business Development Manager. I say it's the same person and a new line on it and let's go. But as Rabobank, we are the only big, now I don't know what to say that in good English, we are the one of the three banks like ING, ABN AMRO and Rabobank. We are the only one who went into startup and scale-up landscape, helping startups with their challenges, with their needs and that kind. And what I am very interested in, what is the reason you're going to start a startup? You can also do a regular company like a haircutter or that kind. But startups are mostly people who are thinking from out of a problem or unmet need, like the iPhone. When the iPhone wasn't there, no one had any needs to it, but when it was there, yeah, you see the results. And that intrigued me to go to startups talking like, well, what are you doing? What is your challenge? What do you want to solve? How do you get that to a next phase? Well, we were also learning by doing and getting information and that kind. And that's why we started Startup Scaler Banking at Rabobank, not only because of the curiosity, but also that are the entrepreneurs for the future. Mm. And you see also now in a decade, there are new jobs. There are sustainable sustainability managers. There are circularity managers in companies. Well, 10 years ago, when you said that name, they said, who? What? That kind.
And then I'm curious because there's when you start a company, you want to either meet an something that's unmet or you want to solve a specific problem. But I think a lot of people, they will try to solve problems that maybe aren't real problems, or they'll try to find a need that is unmet, but it's not really a need.
Yeah.
So is there a process that you guys maybe use or questions that you ask to these entrepreneurs to get more clarity whether there's actually potential in those ideas that they have?
Yeah. We are now in several transitions. Maybe you can say we are in all transitions. And I think we are the people who might embrace that because in the past we did what we do and we get what we get. We get what we get. And now a transition won't be leaded. If you know what I'm trying to say is there is no part from transitions going that way. Mm. You got hurdles, you got steps back, you got to fall, get up again. And mostly when an entrepreneur thinks he has a new thing, he's optimizing the things we are doing at this time. Mm. And that's not a disruptive thinking. That's a difference. Because when I'm trying to achieve doing the things I'm doing better, that's not a transition. Mm. I learned that also the last year. I went to, we are also in a learning situation. And they told us that kind because people are gathering information and try to optimize. But, and that's not wrong, but if you want to be disruptive, it has to be a very changeable thing, new ways to open and that kind of stuff. So, and that's also one of the things I'm very curious about. I'm curious as a person, but I also intrigue like entrepreneurs, like you are sitting behind next to me, that I have goals, what are added value to the future for the human being, but also for the economics, for the environmental, like that.
Yeah. And then I think I want to kind of link maybe those kinds of questions that you're dealing with on the day-to-day now to no day being the same. With kind of change being the only constant. You said that kind of the title that they put on your role is business developer.
Yeah.
Right? So what does your day-to-day actually look like for your job?
Well, no day is the same day. That's one of the things I'm very proud of because every day is a present for me. What we're doing one-to-one with entrepreneurs, only in regular entrepreneurship, but also in startup and scale-up bankers, and also projects. We try to achieve to do that with stakeholders together, like a Leof or a province or in healthcare with the Brightlands for me and Brightlands in Maastricht. What we're trying to help those people getting out of their focus, because mostly they have one focus area they are good in, and they think, well, I'm the best in that. I'm going to do that. But what I forget in the entrepreneurship is that you are the coffee lady and the director and everything what's between that. So you need, if you don't have the skills of marketing, for example, or commercial, but other people are better than that, well, hire them or bring them into the company, give them also a shareholder value or that kind. That's one of the things. And what we also try to achieve is not only the team, but what's in it in the field of stakeholders. As I mentioned, a couple of them just now, we have one of the things, not a premature rule of that kind, but if you have 21 stakeholders, you have that kind of network that can help you in several parts of your company, of your innovation. The third one is it scalable, what you are trying to achieve? Because if it's not scalable, there won't be a business model. And that are trying to get into the challenge there are, or the connection we try to achieve with experts. And the fourth one is what kind of strategy are you searching for, or are you getting out? Do you want an exit strategy, bring it to the market, and then, well, a big company will want to buy it? Or do you want to bring it on yourself to the market, and what will it be your portfolio? That are several things, and now there are more things also connected to, and that are the SDGs. You're well known with it, but a lot of people at this moment, they don't know what the SDGs are. Well, if we want to get a better world together, we need to focus more on those SDGs. And I'm very glad that students at this time, well, they get it in their study. So I'm very glad that is so. Yeah.
So when we're talking about startups, it's often a lot of risk involved in it as well. And also from a bank's perspective, to loan money to a startup, to give money to a startup, it's a lot of risk. How do you guys identify the risk with a startup? And when do you say, okay, this is certain enough that we can do this, that we actually get our money back in the end again?
Well, we are, as Rabobank, we are a traditional bank, but we're also a cooperative bank. And the traditional bank is the commercial part of our bank. Well, there has to be the cash flow to be done. And then a cooperative part, We have several transitions, food transition, climate, energy, and financial healthy living. And one of them is sustainable entrepreneurship. Well, in that kind, the risks we see, they are huge. But we had a fund of 20 million euros each year in which we try to bring startups to a next phase, and we call it Rabobank Innovation Loan. That's a loan, it's a very risky loan, and if it won't go good, it will collapse, we burn the money. It's very bold because I am sitting on, well, if we want to help startups, we need to take some risk, but it has to be a risk that we can argument it to our
members,
yeah, mm-hmm. Good. So, we have the risks we see, but we try to achieve to lower the risk by having the good arguments, like the team, the stakeholders, what kind of strategy do you have, and if the case is that kind of strong, we don't know if we will go to the end, if we will get it to the market, but if we have faith in it. We need to also say, okay, let's do it. And in the past, there are several startups that didn't get it. Mm. But mostly, that's good to mention, mostly those startups collapse, not because the entrepreneur doesn't have the good side on it or his team, but mostly other things like, well, I have one startup, someone who died in his family. Mm. So he was broke and mentally. Mm. He couldn't get any kind. So that's one of the things that's very important, to have a team of several people who can take that. Like if you fall out, well, we can get on with it. That's one of the things. And the other one is when shareholders, they're not at the same level. Mm. And one said, well, we have to go straight ahead and we have to take the risk. And the other one is very reserved and said, well, okay, but we need to go to the chain, like subsidiary, loans, VCs, that kind. Well, that are mostly the things, not the innovation itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's also, it sounds like your role as a business developer, when you're working to understand the team that's behind the product, the idea behind it, but also the stakeholders and the scalability strategies. Really, it sounds like you're doing some like risk mitigation where you're trying to bolster those parts of the idea and the entrepreneur and the business. And by developing that, the risk that you take on is reduced because you have greater security in taking that decision.
Yeah, yeah, mm. Yeah. And now we're doing this 6 years, 6.5 years. And for example, we have in the end of October our first community day of entrepreneurs who get the Rabobank Innovation Loan, mm. to bring them together to see what have you learned, mm. what is the most fuck up you had in your company and that kind, because we can tell that, but it's far much better than the entrepreneurs together say, well, what went good in my company, what went wrong in my company, what kind of steps do I made? Well, mm. And it's also difficult of a branch, because in the medical branch, it's a much longer way to go to market, because if you have to do clinical trials or an FDA certification or that, digital innovation. Well, mm. Maybe I say it too short, but if you make an app, you can go on tomorrow, for mm. example. Mm. Well, that kind of difference are there in several innovation things.
Yeah.
From your perspective then, when you've seen all these startups apply and you look at the team and everything behind it, what are the most common mistakes that you see entrepreneurs making when they're seeking for financing, when they're coming to you asking for a loan?
One of the things is they stay in their own bubble, on their own focus, where they are good in. And once they are too shy to go to a bank and say, well, they don't think I'm very serious at that. But That's one of the things. The other thing is they are too positive about what they are innovating. And we also some see people who are getting subsidiaries ahead. And, well, it's nice to have a subsidiary, but in the end, you have to make steps. Well, and that's that are one of the things that it's going wrong. What are other things? There's another thing. We have also from RVO. I don't know what to say in English, but
RVO.
Okay. Yeah. That the innovator things. Well, I have the Holy Grail, and at RVO you can see in a database. Well, it's somewhere else in the world going on already. That are things mostly go wrong with an innovation. But I don't think, rather, I don't want to speak about what's going wrong, but what did you miss? Mm.
And how do you think people can catch those mistakes of missing certain things earlier? Because I can really see with my own thinking with past companies that I've had of like, wow, this is going to be massive. And in some sense, I've become more successful with those ideas than I initially thought, but in ways very different than what I thought, because I didn't understand what was going on well enough.
Yeah.
So how do you think that entrepreneurs by themselves, maybe before even going into a conversation with a bank or with other people, can try to break their focus, can try to break that bubble of theirs so that they can try and find answers to these questions?
Well, one of the things that Bess can do is sitting in the mirror. And what I'm trying to say is sitting in the mirror is talking to another entrepreneur. Mm. I want to do this. I see this as a good thing or an innovative thing. And also people who don't have anything with the branch, also ask them. Mm. Because and also we sometimes say if at the municipality, hoe noem je die?
The mayor.
Yeah. The mayor put them against children of a school. Mm. Because they are not indicated with one thing like we have to do like that rule or that rule. They can speak open. Mm. It's a metaphor too great, but what I would say to entrepreneurs, do that. Mm. Because then you have a lot of baggage, luggage, to get your plan better before you go to a bank or an expert or that kind. Mostly they say, go to an expert. Well, they're also in one of focus, like, well, I can help you with that, but they forget the rest of the things.
Yeah.
So it's more like trying to find a sparring partner, kind of to talk through these kind of things.
Is that also then part of your role to kind of be in part that mentor, that sounding board for these entrepreneurs, and then just knowing what critical questions to ask rather than a complete stranger on the street?
Yes. I can ask fully questions to the entrepreneur, like, I'm a child. No, I'm cheating that. But mostly I say to the entrepreneur, show me what you have already, and I will shoot at it. And shooting in the sense of getting it better or help you with new entrances to experts or other stakeholders, which can help you on that part where they are good in.
Mm.
And also say to you, well, I wouldn't do that. That's also good to get it back to the in an answer and question like this, because then it's also clear. Don't focus on things that won't get anything anymore.
Yeah.
It really reminds me of the episode we have with Roy. Now that you say shoot questions, because he made the statement that he kills dreams for a living, basically by saying that he asks tricky questions to entrepreneurs in the beginning, and they can be quite simple. Why? How? Why is this your market size? Why is this not your market size? Why are you doing this and not that? And that can unravel someone's world completely in the moment, but then down the line, it makes them so much more strong in their business and in their what they're pursuing to get to in the end. So it sounds a lot like that. That's what you're doing as well with, yeah. with asking the questions to people as well, trying to pick it out the difficulty.
Yeah, sure. And what I'm doing for my profession at home, I have my wife. It's a very lovely wife, but they ask me also sometimes questions, and I think, what the fuck? But mostly it's my mirror, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's nice to get that in my luggage to do that with entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And I think also, from my experience, if you don't have the capacity to take those questions, I mean, at first it feels like a slap in the face the first time.
Yeah.
Right? But then you just get used to it. And I actually really love that process now because I understand that it makes things better over the long run. But I think for a lot of people starting out, having those questions for the first time is very difficult because they put so much personal weight on their ideas, thinking that they're onto the golden path. So I think if you can handle that, then you'll be fine because you can learn. But if you can't, then maybe it's not for you. I mean, I don't like to think that black and white, but I think that there's a process there.
And you have to see it like add a value to your challenge and not like a teacher versus student, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So from your experience of giving loans to startups, what were the ones that gave you the best impression from the start and why?
Well, it's nice to hear from you because 2 weeks ago I had a celebrations day about a startup who made it going from ID to startup to scale up. Well, what did they do? And it was very unique for me also. I thought, wow, this could be a thing for other startups who are making steps. What did they do? They invited us at one of the Brightland campuses. And all the companies or stakeholders who had less or more influence about their way to go, about their bumpy road, like they told, they invited them. During the process, the CEO mentioned, well, we started there and went there. And one of the things towards me was, and also we wanted to go to a bank. Well, we put our button to the bank and said, can you help us? No. The second, no. We are a bank and not a startup bank. Well, until we got by John Janssen from the bank. And he gave us the chance to bring our innovation on the table. And he helped us from the first time until now. Because a couple of months earlier, there was a very petty conversation for them. And, they succeeded in it. And that's what they made going to the market now. I thought it was so unique because they gave an open mind of the way they went on their road. But also, I got in connection with other people they help them, and you see, well, what kind of expertise do you have? Well, I did that. What was your thing to do? Well, we did a little thing, but okay, we helped them, and well, that was so strong. Told also that I was very inspired about how they did it. Mm. Yeah.
And then, what about if a company comes to you and you don't know them yet? Like, we don't know each other that well yet. I come to you with a new business idea. What would make you go wow?
The intrinsic motivation is one of the things that you have. You believe in your own thing, what you're doing. But also, as I see it to myself, I'm very enthusiastic when I see people going into the material and going to do that thing and what I'm trying to achieve and what kind of connections I already have. So I see they have done more than only, well, I have an ID and can you give me some money? Well, then I'm out of order. Then I say, go back to do your homework. But as I have faith in the entrepreneur and I see the possibilities for them to make steps. And if we don't if I cannot do that in the Rabobank, but with other stakeholders, other experts, or other financing people, I will help them till I cannot help them anymore.
Mm.
So that inspires me.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think something that Sebastian and I kind of discovered early on, but also part of the reason for this podcast is to look at the business, like the people behind the business. And I think that's what you're saying now is also like a big wow driver. It has to be the people behind it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And I think in a lot of financing conversations from what I've heard or experienced, that can get lost because there's so much emphasis on the numbers. But when they're projections and you could be sitting across from the same Excel sheet, but the person behind it is very different.
Yeah.
And so I think still that human element in making those decisions is really important. And people often overlook it also in terms of not only how they present themselves, but in terms of how they stand across from the thing that they're looking at.
Yes, yes. And what you say is there's no ways a cash flow calculation that gets like it was mentioned on the Excel sheet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it goes better. Or it goes worse.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
also what we're trying to tell to the entrepreneur. Make a base case, a worst case, and a best practice.
Mm.
So you can see what it can do. And the entrepreneurs from now, like students like you, and I think it's very great what the university is doing to help teams going into an ideation or a prototyping or a startup is... that you are learning by doing. And also have the experience from Roy, for example, of Center for Entrepreneurship, but also with Leof, with Rabobank. We try to achieve also that stakeholders value, like an ecosystem to help the startups from here.
Yeah.
Well, what will be, we can also be, we can be proud of having those people here. So if government in The Hague says, we don't want to have international students here, well, they don't know how the world is working. That's my opinion.
Agreed.
Maybe to go back to Stein's imaginary company here, so let's say we were having a meeting with you at Rabobank. What would be the non-negotiables that we would have? Because you can have the best person in the world behind it, but if he doesn't bring anything on paper with him, there's not much in it. So what are the non-negotiables that every entrepreneur should have ready when they come talk?
Mostly we have it in a package. We mentioned like the business plan, a business model canvas, a cash flow calculation. There are three things that are very important. But also, mostly you do a lot of hours spending in it. And they say, well, I spend a lot of hours in it. And that's worth it, X. But I say, well, if you are not tomorrow sitting in that chair, the X is zero.
Mm.
So they also, what I want from them is that they also search the time cap of what kind of money do I need to make steps in my company. And that can go in the beginning with a subsidiary, then a loan, then a VC, what's going on, or private equity, and then going to the market. Then you have a cash flow done, and then you go to the regular banking rules, like having a minus position, for example, or a loan for going your startup to the next level. And then we have also instruments that can help you.
Yeah, so knowing your burn rate is also really important. Saying if I come and I want to get this much money, I know exactly how many months I can go with this.
Because one of the things we have in our Rabobank Innovation Loan, for example, is it's a splitted loan. You can get a ticket for 150,000 euro, mostly for the TRL phase 4, 5, 6 in the R&D area. And one of those is 75,000 euros, which has to be paid back after 2 years, or after the second year, you have to pay back the rest of it. And that is one of the things we need to be built in your cash flow calculation, that you can pay back.
Mm.
the interest and that kind of stuff. And that's one of the pettiest things, because it's also a challenge for us. As I said, in a digital world, you can make an app and you can have your cash flow within 24 months. But in a medical way, with clinical trials, well, we never achieved that. That's one of the things we are also thinking about. Okay, what can we do to help them in that stage? And we're doing that also with Leo, for example, and with government, but also with a colleague from Rabobank Nederland, who say, well, if we want to be the startup scalar bank, we need our second debt valley to be financed also.
Mm. You raised the point before about the worth of the entrepreneur themselves in their business, and that it's very important to recognize that they might not be there tomorrow. And so I'm closing down Disorder, my first bigger company, so to speak. And a lot of people are asking me the question, why don't you sell it? And I think for me, part of the reason is because I saw by taking a step back from working full time a little while ago that the functioning of the business was still very much dependent on me and how I was doing things. And so my question is how do you kind of hedge against that when you're talking to entrepreneurs? How do you make sure that it's not only dependent on them, that if someone dies in their family, as the example was before, or they get in an accident or what have you, how do you make sure that it's not only on their shoulders? Because day to day, that's very stressful, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. But also just the risks that come with it beyond that person alone can be massive. Mm. So how do you deal with that?
Yes, it's a good question. And one of the things I mentioned mostly in the conversation, like you also said, and I also try to come into the head of the entrepreneur, because in the beginning, you are the one and only. But if you are making steps and the risks for the company are getting more and more, because you also have the responsibility of people working in your company. And if they think, well, in that kind, Stijn does everything for us, they get lazy, they don't learn anything, and you had a headache every day, you know? That's one of the things. But the second is what you're trying to achieve, to bring your innovation to the market, helping our future world, or is it Stijn wants to bring his name to a level, you know? That's a difference. And I think it can work together, but the main thing, the main course you have to get in your mind is, what if I'm not sitting here tomorrow? Can the company grow? And what will I have written on my tombstone? Mike was a good guy, but now he isn't there. Or Mike did something good. What we are now having advantage of, you know?
Yeah.
I think that will be more important than yourself. Mm. And it's not that you're suffering yourself away, but the other thing must be more in scope. And also, when you have good people in your company, maybe you have them, they knock on your door and they say, well, Stijn, it's nice that you are the CEO from this company, but I want to be also in part of it because I want to lower the risks. So then you can go on a holiday for 2 or 3 weeks and the company is still running and I will do that. Maybe he's better in it. That's also one of the things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen that happen for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But maybe I can ask you something.
Yeah, sure.
How was that to yourself? Like, was it that you get rustiger? Ik weet even niet hoe je dat zegt.
Calmer.
Would you get calmer, or was it very excited for you, or?
To take that step back, or to close it down, or what do you mean?
Yeah, and also. getting things out of hands, because mostly an entrepreneur wants to have everything done. I'm also going into that, and I say, well, if I don't get any tools on that, well, okay.
Fair. I think there's two levels to it. So I think the first one is delegation, and that's leaving things out of hand while things are still going. And then there's the actual closing of the business, which is like a whole other thing. With the delegation, I have very high standards for things. And so leveling my definition of what I want to someone else's perspective was the first big step, because that's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But I think the more relaxed I became with that, which took some time, the better the results were, because what I learned is that all I had to do is actually make the people who I was maybe delegating to, not how they had to do things, or maybe not even exactly what, but just give the guidelines enough so that the end result was somewhat clear in very abstract terms still. Why is it important that we're going in this direction? Mm. The way of how they get there, what the final result actually looks like. If they're better at it than me, they're going to make something nicer.
Yeah.
So that was very nice. And I think that was also at a stage after the first year of the company when that started to happen. And then we grew from 3 to 4 people to 8. So it was very fast that we expanded. Now closing down is a different story. I think for me, it's been the biggest lesson of like, it's had its time and it's done what I wanted it to do.
Okay.
At least with this order. So I wanted to start a company that started conversations around mental health. And I thought, you know, I could, you know, have revenues in the 7 figures consistently or whatever. That didn't happen at all. But something I didn't expect is that we would sell on a really big international scale where we reach people in 19 countries around the world. If you told that to me three years ago, I would have crapped my pants, you know? So I think for me, it's like you learn certain things along the way that change the way that you look at these projects. And then at least when it comes to a close for me, like is happening now, there's a lot of gratitude that comes with it. I think also because closing was our own decision. It wasn't forced upon us because of big financial issues or things like this. So I think in that context, I look at it positively.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
One of the things you learned about is working on your company to get above it, then working in your company. We also do the regular entrepreneurship. Mm. Mostly we are running, I say, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock in the evening. They get down on the couch in the evening and they say, what have I done today?
Yeah.
So if you bring that to another level for yourself, it makes life much easier, but also getting the skills like accountability to your personnel and responsibility. And not everyone can take that. That's also a kind of thing. You have people to which you say, well, do that. And if you do that good, that's good. But there are also people who have other skills. They say, well, if you let me do that only, well, see it yourself, but that's not why I'm coming here.
No.
So
no.
It's also a bit mental space you have to make free. To make free, well, it's a learning process.
Mm.
And some people never get it, and some people make the step, and some people do it as a second natural thing. So.
Yeah.
Well, can be proud of that.
I think so. I'm getting there.
Oh, you can definitely be proud of that one.
I'm getting there.
Definitely can. So you have a very deep experience in the banking world. What are the biggest changes that you're foreseeing in startup financing in the next 5 to 10 years? And how do you think the Rabobank will adapt to that?
That's a good question, Sebastian, because I think that more private equity will get into the market. We see it now. I had yesterday a conversation with the accountancy office and with commercial real estate. Yeah, with commercial real estate, you see private equity is getting in that market. even more. You see it at in the medical, you see it there. You see it in different kinds of branches where people have money, and mostly that are the fintech people who raised in a quite a quick time a lot of money. They see it as they don't want to get their money in obligations or shares or options or that. But I say, if I can make it tasty for myself, that I have the knowledge, the network and the capital, well, then we are part of it. And that's also in the changing world of us as Rabobank. I embrace it that we have several finance options to bring in the entrepreneur in a financial good seat of having more, the risk is spread also. And for us as a bank and vice versa, if the PE says, well, if Rabobank does it, we also do it. And or a VC, if we have a lead investor, well, we will do it also. I think that will be the biggest change in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. So really these bundlings of different stakeholders with maybe slightly different intentions or different capabilities working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then maybe now, before we start working towards really closing off, when you look back at your career, which has been primarily at the Rabobank, what's been maybe your proudest moment or some of your proudest moments?
The most thing I'm proud of at Rabobank is a recognition of my colleagues, directors, or people who I work with within the Rabobank, that John is John. I say to a lot of people, it get into my mouth, but it goes out of my pants. And for everybody the same. And if you do what you are as a person, and that is seen by your colleagues or also entrepreneurs, because I get a lot of times back, well, thank you for helping us. Well, then I'm a very happy people. And my goal is helping people where I can do that with a good balance of risk and enthusiasm.
Okay, so that was maybe up until now the things that you really value. But what is the thing that you look forward to in the future for the remaining years of your career? What are you excited about?
Well, we have a lot of challenges. As I mentioned in the beginning, we have a lot of transitions, crisis, and several things. And my greatest achievement is getting my added value, as you mentioned, towards the young entrepreneurs, but also that's more the external part, but also in our bank, helping the younger people finding their way. Because one of the things I see now is a lot of people come into the bank, and within a half year or a year, they're out of the bank without knowing if they have any skills, if they have any competences, because they get out of the study, they come for customer due diligence or KYC, and that's not the most excited part of working at a bank. What I wish is that we have more people in our bank that are having a broader scope on entrepreneurship, mentally health of people, the circularity, that they embrace how to do that, giving the right things in the right directions. Sustainability is one of the things. So I think it's too big to bring it all in one pressure cooker. But if everyone has one of the parts doing that inside to bring it also outside, well, then I'm very happy taking my added value to the last parts of my career at Rabobank.
Yeah. That sounds nice. Building the internal capacity to help face the things outside.
Yes, yes.
Very nice.
So we have this closing tradition on the podcast where we ask our guests to bring a valuable object to them, either in a personal life or a professional life.
Yes.
What did you bring with you?
I bring with me the fountain pen. Traditionally, it's the pen from in the past. And a lot of people cannot write with a fountain pen because you have to bring it in a several stand. And it's also a thing, if you're writing, you're writing your own story. And I wrote my own story with doing things that I like to do and not what I have to do, and kind of you must do that. Because if you must do things, a lot of people say, I must go to the bank, I must go to that, I might go to that. I also do that 36 years for Rabobank, and this pen brings me in my story, and if I'm at the end of my career, I'm writing my story with this pen. So that's my object.
It's a very nice object to bring on the podcast. Yeah, very personal as well.
Yeah.
And getting to do things rather than having to do them, I think, is a very important frame to live life, because it gives you the agency but also the responsibility to have control over it.
Very nice. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me and sharing my story with you.
Thank you for coming on and sharing it. All right. Thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our episode. If you want to connect with our guest personally, then give us a follow on LinkedIn at First Moves. We also have an Instagram at First Moves Podcast. And lastly, we ask you to leave a review. This will enable us to bring better guests on board and give you better content in the future. Have a nice day.